Okay, I'm flipping back and forth between John, but I'm going to continue in Daniel a little bit. I'm not going to not go back to John. We're in chapter 7 in John, but before we do that, I'm going to do a little bit more in Daniel. And before we go to Daniel, I would like to read something. And I'm going to cover this later on, best I can. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn there a second. And then we're going to read this a little bit, make a few comments. And then we're going to Daniel. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians has been used to prove a post-trib rapture. I've heard sermons on this, and they'll go right here to try to prove that the rapture must be post-trib. But I want you to look at it very carefully. First off, let me see if I can go back. Previous to that, look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says here, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not, even as others. Thank you. Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. To the end may he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So there's a coming with his saints, and then there's a coming in judgment. If you can't see that, those two, this will be totally mixed up. In fact, if you cannot see the parenthesis between Daniel's 69th week and Daniel's 70th week, you're going to get all messed up too. In my opinion, Ironside, others said that the parenthesis that's in between the 69th and 70th week is very important to realize that. We're in that parenthesis right now. And we'll cover all that. I mean, we have been covering it. Look back in chapter 1, verse 10. And to, he says here, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living God and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Isn't that what he said? That they were to wait for his Son. Well, Paul, wait a second. How can you tell them to wait for your Son when the Antichrist hadn't even come yet? Okay, now let's go to. Now he said, comfort one another with these words. We're there to wait and all this, right? But he said, comfort. Now look in verse. Let me ask you something. Should you be excited about the second coming of Christ? I think so, huh? I just can't wait, right? Don't you think that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and for them to comfort one another with them and that they ought to be excited about it? Doesn't the Bible talk about those that look for his coming? Huh? Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. This is the proof text, they say. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 together first, and then I'm going to split it. Whew. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ, in some translations, the day of the Lord. Okay. Now, I ain't going to go read all this, because we want to go to Daniel. And I'm going to cover this in depth later on. Okay. There is not one place where you read of the day of the Lord, whereas there it comes. I went and looked it all up, and it is a horrible time. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath, and it's not a good time. It's the day of Jacob's trouble and all of that. Okay. Now, why would they, if Paul taught that the rapture is at the end of the tribulation period, okay, you see what I'm getting at? Why would they be troubled? Why wouldn't Paul say, you guys ought to be excited about the day of the Lord? Wouldn't he say that? Yeah, I can't wait till the Antichrist comes. Yeah, right. The day of the Lord, right. I can't wait, you know. You see where I'm coming from? Okay. But he says, what did he mention first here in these two verses? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's mentioned first. The rapture. That you not soon be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord or the day of Christ is at hand. And that word at hand means now. It had come. See, they were being persecuted. Someone wrote a false letter or something. Hey, the day of the Lord's came. Oh, it's come. And they're scratching their head. Well, Paul didn't teach that. You see what I'm getting at? Because if Paul did teach that, they should be excited about it. But notice, he says that you should be shaken in mind or be troubled. Why would they be troubled and shaken in mind? deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now that word falling away, some have translated, tried to make that say, well, that's the catching away, but I don't, no, that's apostasy. It is the word apostasy, okay? Now, think about this for a second. There's apostasy going on today. There was apostasy in Paul's day, right? So what is this apostasy? It says here, the let no man deceive, for come a fallen away, fallen away. This is total apostasy from what I read. This is just not apostasy that's going on today. I mean, there's a categorical apostasy that's been going on for thousands of years. Apostasy that's going on in Paul. But this is an apostasy that they can do. And that's the part that has to come first. Now, I'm asking. Wait, let me read this.
falls from his branches. Nevertheless, he thought that he would die. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots. So the tree's going to be cut down, but he's going to leave the stump of his roots in the earth. Even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. So that tells you right there, it's a person involved. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, that tree. And let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word, by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of heaven and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the face of the king. I have brother Wilbur Johnson speaking on that. He said, the Lord will set up some of the most low down people in this place. He will. Why does he do that? Because he just wants to. Suits his purpose. He sets up some of the low down men in the world over the place. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Why do you think that? Because he has to tell Nebuchadnezzar this story. He's afraid. I don't know if the phrase is right. If I tell him what this means, he ain't gonna like it. Okay. Or it's no trouble. Anyway. But look what Nebuchadnezzar did. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar, or Daniel, answered and said, my lord, the dream is to them that fear. What does that mean? In other words, what's going to happen to you, the ones that hate you, are going to love it. Because your king, what's about to happen to you, the ones that hate you, are going to love it. It's kind of like the Democrats that hate Trump. You know, if he fell and, had a heart attack, they'd be celebrating. Okay. My Lord, the dream is to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. They're going to love this interpretation. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, not your kingdom. Well, yeah, I guess it's kingdom, so to speak. But no, the tree is you. And you are about to be hewn down. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong for thy... Now listen, thy greatness is grown. Now this is probably going to his head. And reach unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven and say, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, 7 times shall pass over him, or 7 years. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. This has come upon you. That they shall drive thee from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever. whoever he will. Notice he rules in the kingdom of men. The kingdom of men is not the kingdom. The millennial kingdom will not be the kingdom of men that God will be ruling in. God rules in all these kingdoms. But it, sir? That's right. Yeah. And so, but it's still the kingdom of men. He's ruling Russia. He's ruling the Iranians. He's ruling all these ungodly people. These kingdoms of men. And he giveth it to whomsoever he will. Remember, he just read back, set up the basis of men. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree, of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. In other words, it's not going to depart from you. You're going to get it back. Okay. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. In other words, you're going to be, your kingdom's not going, you're going to get it back. But you're going to get it back when you know the heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. The heavens rule. I mean, that's quite a statement, isn't it?
Shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know. This is what the voice told. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Didn't take long, did it? And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. I guess you didn't get no haircut or nothing. And his nails like bird's claws. So he, you know, he's out there like a dumb animal, right? You laughing. Yeah, see what you look like. And don't cut your fingernails, was it? Yeah, you look pretty bad, don't you? And at the end of the days, what days? The end of what days? Well, the seven times that he told him would pass over him, right? I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the, this is what he learned, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Well, but not among the inhabitants of earth, right? No. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None can stay his hand. Now think about that. Or say unto him, what on earth are you doing? What are you doing? What doest thou? Ain't nobody can question what he's doing. Are you going to question what God's doing? None can stay his hand. Let me ask you this. You think Nebuchadnezzar could stay his hand? You think Nebuchadnezzar? Huh? He could. He would have. Oh, yeah. You know, you've heard it. Well, God is all powerful. He can do everything, but he cannot violate man's free will. I just don't think Nebuchadnezzar's will was to go eat grass like an ox for 7 years. You think so? No. I think he violated his will. Anyway. Yeah, he changed his will. Yeah, he was like, I guess he liked to eat like grass like an ox for 7 years, I guess. He was happy doing it. I don't know. He lost his mind. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, as he was told. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Not kings of heaven, the King of heaven. Notice it's singular now. I think so. In other words, before it was the gods of heaven, right? Now it's the King, singular, of heaven. All whose works are truth, and his, not their, not their way, their ways, but his ways, judgment. And those that walk in pride, he, not they, he is able to abase. The God of heaven. So Nebuchadnezzar saw that. Well, we're about out of time. Chapter 5 is Belshazzar. Now Belshazzar, he's a new king. Now, it says in these verses here that Nebuchadnezzar was his father. From what I read, it was probably his grandfather. Okay? In other words, this was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, whatever. I don't know if that's that important. But anyway, Belshazzar, he didn't learn anything that Nebuchadnezzar learned, as we see. In fact, Daniel told him, you know, even though thou knewest all these things, you knew all that, but yet you lifted yourself up in pride. You did not learn what Nebuchadnezzar learned. And we'll see that in chapter 5.